All right. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. So Jesus is the Creator, and we acknowledge this as it is written. In John 1:14, going down to the 14th verse, and the Word, Jesus Christ, was made flesh. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. And in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. That is one of my favorite subjects, is I love astronomy. I've always loved astronomy. And so when you look at the Bible and you get the pieces of the picture of what happened back when Jesus was born, and the star and the Bethlehem and all those things that were going on, it's a wonderful study. It's a wonderful subject that we can just be fascinated by, because the Bible is full of those types of things, especially in Job. If you haven't read Job, Job 1 and Job 38, Job 38, the Bible says, I went the wrong way here. Job says, I wasn't going to read this, but I was reading it earlier this morning. Job, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. In verse 7, he says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you, he asks Job, when God created all things and when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Back when all of God's creation was in perfect harmony, everything, there was no rebellion, there was no falling, there was no devil, there was no rebellious angels. It was all functioning perfectly the way God created. But we know the story. There was one, and then there was many, and it all came apart. Not came apart. God still holds everything together by his power, but he let. You're louder than I am from right there, you know it? So, yeah, so. So, anyways. So in Matthew chapter 2, 1 and 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east in Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east. Again, astronomical conjunctions with the star of Bethlehem, specifically that simulations, scientific simulations, indicate that during the first few years shortly before Christ's birth, there were conjunctions of Jupiter, they call it, are called the king planet, its biggest, with both Venus, the king's mother planet, and three times with star Regulus, the royal star, in the constellation of Leo the lion. So it is written in the stars. The Bible says that the whole thing is written in the stars. And as we put the pieces together, you have to be a student. You have to be you have to study to show yourself approved. And when you start to seek the things that you want to find out from the Bible, God will show you. God will lead you. God will take you places in the Bible as you hunger and thirst for righteousness. You know, I was just talking about deliverance. We must want to be delivered. We must want to know what God wants for us. We must seek with our whole heart. When I'm half-hearted about Christianity, things don't go smoothly spiritually, because I'm kind of just trying to fight my own self instead of just plowing right along and joining with the will of God in my life. And so I want to know God's will. I want to do his will. I want to see the will of God in the Word of God. And so here's one of the points about going places in the Bible. You got to start. And if you haven't started reading your Bible, it's critical to your growth and development as a Christian. I know that's so basic, but the place to start is Psalms. It's the easiest place to, because you only have line after line, just one line at a time. Or Proverbs. Proverbs is line after line, one line at a time. And so as you contemplate, you get hungrier. And as you're eating, you know, maybe you get one chip or one cracker or one piece of bread, and all of a sudden you're going, man, that's not enough. I want more than that. And so I want more of the chips or the crackers or the bread. Or I want to put some meat on the bread. Now pretty soon I want to graduate from a couple of chips or a couple of crackers or a piece of bread and a piece of meat. I want to graduate to solid food. And the Bible talks about, you know, growing up and eating solid food as a Christian. In the scriptures talks about, I could not feed you with the meat of God's word because you're still babies in Christ. Now I know that most of you, and welcome to those of you watching, that we're not babies. We've been Christians a long time. But if you haven't progressed in the Bible, then spiritually you may be a babe. And being a babe is not something to be proud of. It's okay as a new Christian to be a babe. But if you've been professing Christ for, you know, 5 years now, 10 years, and 15 years, and you still don't have a habit of reading your Bible, and you still don't have it of spending time in prayer every day, then you haven't progressed in your Christianity, and the evidence suggests you're still a baby Christian. And so what happens when somebody in your family needs you? You're going to want to call Pastor Nancy or some of the prayers, Randy and some of the prayer team. You should be able to pray with someone, number one, to get saved. Number two, if they're sick, you should say, may I lay hands on you, put your hands on them, and pray what the Bible says about laying hands on the sick so that they'll recover. We need to be doers of the word and growing up into Christ. The Bible says, grow up into Christ in all things, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him. Are you increasing in the knowledge of him? You know, I'm pointing right now, but I'm not pointing at anybody in particular. Are we increasing in the knowledge of him? You know, those books, these two books here, this is all about, again, going back into deliverance. If you've got blocks in your life, you start by admitting that something is a block for you. You know what they are, and you just simply begin to resist those blocks. Then as you get deeper into resistance, things may be a little more stubborn, and you begin to identify them with words, okay? Because if you don't identify them with words, your mind doesn't have the power. Your mind doesn't have power. You might be bright, but that doesn't mean anything spiritually. I mean, because you know what? In the spirit realm, they all have perfect knowledge of what's going on everywhere except what God knows that they don't know. But in general, they know a lot more than you do. It's a spiritual thing. It's not a mental thing. And so we need to progress spiritually to deal with issues. Issues aren't just going to go away because I hope so. Maybe I sing in the choir, or maybe I sing in the come to the prayer groups, or maybe I read, or I come to church faithfully and serve. Those things are wonderful, and we're grateful to all of you that do that. But I need to face the facts of what's going on in my heart, my mind, and my life. And if I'm walking in darkness, you're not fooling anybody except yourself, and we're called to come out. I say it all the time, come out from among them. Who's them? Darkness, or what's in darkness? Maybe you don't, I don't admit that I'm walking in darkness, but the things I'm doing are the fruit of darkness. So what do I need to change? Taking self-inventory, and that's kind of when I'm looking at this book here, and when I'm looking at this book here, these are hardcore change books. And so I just tell you that they're available. But if you're just a patty caker, if right now you're at the level of patty cake, you know, and, you know, we love you, Jesus. That's awesome that you love Jesus, but if you're not getting delivered, if you're not getting set free, if you don't know how to deal with bad dreams, I don't know how bad dreams just came up, but maybe you're having reoccurring bad dreams. What are bad dreams? Something bad happening, or I'm doing something bad, or I'm living bad, or people are bad, or my family's bad. Well, you need to get past yourself so that you can begin to help someone else in your family get free. And a lot of times it's at a distance because they won't listen to you because they think you're a crazy Christian or something. But then when they get their eyes open to truth, then they will appreciate what you did. But a lot of times in this life, you won't get appreciated for the spiritual things that you do through prayer and through standing for someone to get saved. Standing for someone to get saved means is that on a continual basis, I'm praying for somebody to come out of darkness into the light, to humble themselves. It's a key. That's one of the keys. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. People are so hung up in pride that they can't see truth. And so as prayers, as people that go to prayer and people that pray and people that know the Bible, we speak the word over people in our prayers. That's why we got to be separated so that I can not care what you say in prayer. I can be by myself and I can say the things I want to say over the people I want to say it about. And I want to say it out loud because there's a whole spiritual realm. Maybe nobody's in the room. Maybe nobody's in the building. Or you might live in an apartment where you got paper wall, thin walls, and you may have to keep your voice down, but you want to declare prayers verbally so that darkness can hear it, the whole spiritual realm can hear it, because you're making declarations of faith, and faith will help change circumstances. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I want to know the Word of God so that when I'm praying, I don't have to go, oh, what was that scripture again? No, I want to know scriptures well enough, or have the handful of them, so that I could walk and pray and speak about my mom or my dad or my sister or my brother or my son or my daughter and pray in faith and call them out of darkness into the marvelous light. It's God that calls them out of darkness into the marvelous light, but I can say that. Father, I pray that you would call them out of darkness into the marvelous light. What's the marvelous light? The light of the glorious gospel to shine into their heart and their mind so that not only will they get saved, but it'll change their mind. But the way they change their mind is to renew their mind. So there's a process of how this stuff happens, but someone's got to start. And you guys are all mature enough Christians that you realize that somebody's going to bat for them. Somebody is going to intercede for them. Somebody's going to stand in the gap for them. There's a gap between them and God. And so some Christian can come in and step into the gap and say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus on behalf of them. And that's how you stand in the gap for them. You're praying for them to come out of darkness. And sometimes you got people that are you have family or loved ones that maybe your husband or your wife or somebody, your children, they're so wrapped up in darkness that they don't have a clue. But that's probably obvious with most everyone, that if they're not saved, they probably don't have a clue. But when their eyes begin to get open and they're around salty Christians that are not afraid to be Christians in front of them, and they're not afraid to say no to the world. You know, coming up on the holidays, and most people have at least a party to go to. And maybe the party is with carnal people that aren't born again, and so they're going to be drinking and they're going to be doing all the things that they do. And it'll be an opportunity for you to be a little salty, because someone will ask you, what do you have? And I have a Diet Coke, or I have a soda, or I have some boozeless punch. And they'll go, well, why aren't you drinking? Well, I don't drink. Why don't you drink? Because I just choose not to drink because I'm a Christian. Well, I know Christians that drink. Well, yeah, I know Christians that drink too, but I know Christians that don't drink, and they don't drink on purpose because they've made choices to be different than the world. See, everybody can go in and mix in with the world. Everybody said, well, you're of this world, but not in this world, but not of this world. And some people can say, well, I want to go out and mix, rub shoulders to shoulder with the world. Well, are you strong enough in your own life privately to stand up for righteousness privately? Because if you can't stand up for righteousness privately when nobody can see you, if you privately aren't strong enough to stand up for righteousness privately, how are you going to stand up for righteousness in public? How are you going to stand up for righteousness in front of your family or your coworkers at work? When if you do, it's unfortunate sometimes because, you know, your own lack of separation privately will manifest publicly. And so I want to be strong privately first so that I'm built up privately, so that when I come across circumstances publicly, when I say publicly, it might not be out and about, but, you know, wherever you go, that I'm ready to be bold and courageous, to be strong and bold and courageous and willing to share the gospel for starts, or to listen to someone and have a wise word to say. One of the things that is the most fruitful thing in life is when someone talks to you and you have a wise thing to say. But you can't really have wise things to say if you're not studying and you're in the Word. And so my message again today is going to be about being in the Word all the time, continually. And that means, you know, when I say all the time, continually, nobody can be in the Word all the time, continually, but as often as you need to be. Every day we should find something in the Bible. Every day we should spend time with God in prayer and some scripture, because scripture is the food. Scripture is the food. It's you're feeding yourself the Word of God, and it's making you spiritually strong. So to be spiritual without the Word of God, failure will happen at some point. And I'm not just trying to be negative, but you know, you want to be strong in the most important circumstances. And so you want to feed yourself some scripture every day. And that's why we always do read the Word. So I'm going to try and get back to the Word of God here and read some Word. But again, all things were made, verse 3, all things were made through Jesus, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Again, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Going back to Bethlehem, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Did I say that already? No? So he's saying, where is he that is born the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we're come to worship him. So the conjunctions of those stars were legit things that happened in those days, and there are explanations from scientists as to what they are. And one of my favorite books is by E.W. Bullinger, Written in the Stars. It's the greatest story ever told that was written in the stars. And I had an experience that I read this book, and I heard one of the leaders in the church. I read this book back when I was a teenager, and I thought it was the greatest book I ever read because it explained so many things about God. And then I heard Jerry Falwell criticize the author. And I was just decimated by it. Back anyway, a young Christian, and when Christians go after each other and stuff, it's not fruitful. And I'm thinking, man, it's the greatest book I ever read, and you're criticizing this guy for writing this book. And so I had to struggle with that for quite some time. But I just got over it and realized that, hey, even at the top echelons of the church, you know, people don't agree with each other, and unfortunately, though, but the story of Christ's birth being written in the stars, so that back in the day when you didn't have TV and you didn't have a computer and you didn't have nothing, how are you going to find about, you know, you're in the remotest parts of the jungle or down in Australia or Tanzania or whatever that thing's called down there, you know, where you have no communication with anybody, and yet God was still able to get his message out to the people. He was able to tell the story of Jesus Christ and that people needed to have the gospel because it was written in the stars. And I love astronomy, and that's why I'm talking about it this morning. But in Matthew 2:2, it says, the Magi came from the east, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've seen his star in the east. So several thousand years earlier, King David explained in several psalms, Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. In Psalm 97:6, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Psalm 50:6, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. So people would see in the constellations and all the different things that are happening in the sky. Somehow God would get his message to people, and he would present the message of the gospel. I don't know how it happened, and it's going to be fun to get to heaven and go look back in all the annals of history and see how people all over the earth received knowledge of the gospel. And for things that, I mean, there's going to be so many amazing things to discover when we get there and we know have all knowledge and understanding. But going forward in Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 and 12, when Herod had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star would appear. There was going to be that star that, and they were warned by God in a dream not to return to talk to Herod. In Colossians 1:15-18, they're clarifying that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him, you know, and growing up in church, no one ever said verse 16 to us. For by him all things were created. Have you known that? We all believe that God was the creator. But here it says in Colossians, the Apostle Paul, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, things that are visible, things that are invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, Jesus, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. So there's no confusion as to who we're talking about here. He's the firstborn from the dead in that all things he might have preeminence. So Jesus, in Colossians, the Apostle Paul explains to us that Jesus was always there. It's when he became flesh and dwelt among us that we know that he walked on the earth. The New Living Translation, verse 15, says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. That right there just makes you just want to bow down and get on your knees, because he is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realm and on earth. He made the things we can see, and he made the things we can't see. That's just, you know, and I know that there's so much in the germ world and in the smallest realms of the different things that exist that we never see unless we look in a microscope. He holds all creation together. His word, let there be light. And because of those words, let there be light, all things are held together because of Jesus Christ. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else. He is the beginning, supreme, 18. Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. All right, so what do I do with that? Just right there in NLT, New Living. He's first in everything. That's what the Bible says. And so you ask yourself, is Christ first in my life in everything? In my money, in my mind, in my body, in my work, in what I do with my money, what I do with my computer, what I do with, you know. I mean, is he first in everything? Now, we'll read the Amplified. Why not? Hey, these are great verses. This is some of the most eye-opening scriptures in the Bible. Verse 15 from Amplified says, he's the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible. Man, you want something to meditate on? Wow. The firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, the originator of all creation. Verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him, that is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed. This is the one right here. He himself existed and is before all things. So without question, now I know most all you guys know that, but some people don't know that Jesus wasn't Jesus until he was born by the Virgin Mary. But here the Bible clearly defines that he existed. He's always existed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally there. They've always been there. And so we need to settle that in our hearts and our minds so that we can move forward. The Bible says grow up. That is absolute truth, because there are many religions that won't honor Christ because they honor the Father. And they say Jesus is just a created being. Jesus, the Bible clearly says, has existed forever, that Father, Son, Holy Spirit have always existed forever, and therefore he is preeminent, he is supreme, he is over all. Colossians 1:17 says he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I love it. I just go off on that. One commentary says the universe was not made for earth. Listen to this. The universe was not made for earth, nor was it made for man. It was made for Jesus. because as a mandate from heaven, these celestial signs ordained by the hand of the Creator mark the long-awaited fulcrum of all history, the decisive epoch of time when the heavenly signs of the birth of Christ unfold in their true extent of their scope and structure. I just copied this down. We can only stand in humble awe and reverence as they testify of God's omniscient power and of the love of God. The power and glory of his creation reveals that he sheds it forth in the heavens and the scriptures in Christ, God's word in the flesh. He is the light of the world, the bottom line. Here's the bottom line. It's all about Jesus. And that's a wrestling point for a lot of people. Wrestling with Jesus. We honor Jesus, but he's not God, some people say, or he's not, he hasn't always existed, or he's not co-equal. He's under God. He submitted to himself when he was here to be under God. He submitted to the Father. He prayed to the Father. He shed great drops of blood when he prayed to the Father. But this was Jesus and his body, but pre-body of Jesus, he was co-equal with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God. God the Holy Spirit. And Christian, we know this, but there's young Christians here, young Christians maybe watching, that haven't heard this yet, and they don't know how to honor Jesus in this season. It's not about... These are beautiful trees. They're beautiful decorations. Honoring Christ, though, is to submit your will, to submit your heart, to bow my knee to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but bow both knees to be able to. Can you? Will you? Will you bow? The Bible says every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess. And so thank God that you're here. Thank God that you're watching. Thank God that you have made the decision that you want to be the kind of person that will surrender and submit to God. And so one of the things that we do when we surrender and submit to God is we read the Word of God and we bow our knees. If you can, praise God. You know, I mean, you know, some of the knees eventually, but if you can't, bow your knees and lay on the floor. Lay on the floor, put your face in the floor. Have you ever put your face in the floor to pray? Sometimes when you are crying out to God and you're trying to humble yourself to the max, sometimes you put your face on the floor in humility. God, I am humbling myself. And you know, does God need you to put your face in the floor? You're doing it as an act of submission. I submit my will. Or when you're fighting your flesh, when you're fighting the world, when you're fighting to I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to sing praises. I don't want to whatever, ever, ever. And all of a sudden you're saying, Steve, you're going to do it. And you're going to take yourself. And, you know, one of the things that was weird about my growing up is they had a thing about pulling your ears, you know. And so if you were bad, they'd pull your ear in church, and they'd pull you out of church. They pulled me out of church. And, you know, so sometimes you got to do whatever it takes to spiritually pull yourself by the ear. And as an exercise, bow your knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven is named, that at his name every knee shall bow. It's not just pretty language. It's not just words to a song. It's not just written for a commentary. Every knee shall bow. So it's bow now or bow later. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show my humility to myself and to God. I want to show it to God first, but sometimes our own self. Self says, I don't want to bow. I want to bow to me. I'm in charge here. I'm smart enough. I'm cool enough, I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I'm healthy enough, I'm whatever the arrogance of our own selves that will try and cloud the equation. And a lot of times our arrogance clouds the equation, and you got to cast down that imagination, and you got to reject self. You got to put self, you got to bring thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, to the obedience of Christ. I bring that thought captive. I'm not bigger than God. I'm not more important than God. My life's not important, more important than God. My God is most important and in my life. And I have to get my priorities in line. My priorities are, I define my priorities. God has given me freedom of choice. He's given me freedom to think. He's given me freedom. I can walk away right now if I wanted to walk away. He's given me the freedom. And if I walked away from God, he'd let me go, but there'd be 100 Christians that'd be praying that you'd come back. Because God's got a network of prayers that don't need to know your name. It's best to know your name because you can cry out somebody's name. But even if they don't know your name, he's got a network of people that pray for you. If you've been a true Christian, then God will have people pray for you when you get out in the world, when you get away from God, when you're disobedient, when you're full of yourself, when you're in pride, when you're in rebellion, when you're in sin. In sin? Yeah, when you're in sin. Pride and rebellion are sin. When you don't want to read your Bible, praise God for people that are praying for you. Do they pray for you? I want Joey to read his Bible. I don't know if it's specifically that way, but I pray in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you don't necessarily know what you're praying about, and therefore there's power in praying in the Spirit. When you don't know what to pray for as you ought, when I don't know what to pray for as I ought, the Spirit helps my infirmity. The Spirit helps my infirmity. For when I don't know what to pray for as I ought, he makes intercession for me. Now here's kicker. He's either praying for me to get off my pride, to get up off that thing, to get up off that pride, or he's praying for me to pray over those. The Spirit makes intercession for me. So there's two ways. He's making intercession for me to get my brain in line with my heart, or vice versa, whatever I need. Or the Spirit makes intercession for me. So when I don't know what to pray for my mom or my dad that aren't saved, or my sister or my brother or my wife or my husband or anybody that I really love and I want to pray for them, when I don't know what to pray for as I ought, the Spirit makes intercession for me. So what I do is I submit to the higher Spirit of God to make intercession for me, through me, to the directed path that's called intercession. To allow the Holy Spirit to say the words that need to be said from God's perspective of all knowledge. And a lot of times when you're praying in the Spirit, you don't know what you're praying. And that's good, because if you did, you might not like those people, because he's praying about stuff that would contradict you, contradict your life, contradict everything, might even whatever it is. But we trust God that when we pray in the Spirit, we're praying the perfect will of God. That's why it's so critical. That's why it's so important. That's why Christians that don't do it, you're swimming upstream by swimming with your own strength. But why not jump in the boat with a motor on it and let him drive you upstream, rather than keep fighting against the current, swimming by your own strength in your prayers? And basically, when you're fighting against the current in your own strength, a lot of times you're not in faith. And if you're not in faith, what does the Bible say about faith? God hears the prayers of the righteous. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you're not in faith, someone would say, well, God knows. Christians, if you are taught how to pray correctly and you reject that, and say, well, I'm going to go and pray the way I think I pray. I don't care what they say about prayer. No. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And if you can't humble yourself and admit my prayers are wrong because, you know, I learned this back in, you know, boarding school. If it's right prayer, then keep it. But if it's not right, change it. Pray right. Everybody needs to pray right. Well, how do you pray right? You pray first to the Father in Jesus' name. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, that will I give you. All right, so I'm going to change my prayers. I'm going to say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, that's way, do you have to know? We're suggesting, many of us here, we start our prayers. Thank God we've got prayer groups. When we come in there and people are praying, they say, Father, in the name of Jesus, then you declare your petitions. Okay, so what if I don't pray the way you said to pray? Well, now that I told you this, it may affect your faith. Because Jesus said, pray in faith. The Bible says, whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, you shall receive. Well, if you know that you're not praying correctly, but you're just too prideful because Steve can't tell me how to pray. I'm not going to do that because I did this all my life. This is the way I was trained when I grew up, and nobody can tell. No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. And if they didn't tell you what the Bible says, and now I'm telling you what the Bible says, and you don't want to change because you're too proud. I've been praying this way for 30 years, and you can't tell me different. You know what you're doing? You're in pride, and pride hinders your prayers. God won't answer a pride prayer. Humble again. Again, it's all about humility. No, I don't know what to pray for as I ought. Likewise, the Spirit helps my infirmity. It's not a sickness. It could be. It's not a disease. It could be. My infirmity is my inability to comprehend or understand what the need is. That means that I don't know what's going on in your brain. I don't know what's going on in your body. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what's going on in your marriage. I don't know what's going on in your job. I don't know what's going on in your children. I don't know what's going on in your life. When I don't know what to pray for, the Spirit helps that infirmity. What is the infirmity? It's not a sickness right now. I'm not sick. I'm as healthy as could be. But my infirmity is I don't know what you need. But the Spirit helps my infirmity so that when I don't know what to pray for, the Spirit makes intercession for me with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because why? Take the middle part off for a second. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Okay, now we've moved ourselves into the correct position. Because if you don't pray according to the will of God, hey guys, sorry. But if you don't pray according to the will of God, he doesn't hear us. That's hard to accept. If I don't pray according to the will of God, he doesn't hear us. But when I pray according to the will of God, he hears us. And what's the rest of it? We know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So now I know that I'm aligning myself. It's called humility. Oh, you can't tell me how to pray. That's pride. Boom, kick that pride out. Boom, kick that pride out. Humble yourself. If I know he hears me, I know I have the petition that I've desired of him. Now you accept what the Bible says, which is faith, and I'm going to believe that I receive according to what the Word of God has said. So now what we're doing is we're adjusting our life. Okay, let's put it this way. Humility will accept correction. All right, so all my life in church, I've prayed a certain way, and now all of a sudden, you're telling me different? Every one of us have to get aligned with what the Scripture says. It's not about what I say, but I'm telling you what the Bible says. These things that I'm quoting, if you go back to your Bible, they'll be King James, but that's okay. I quote King James. So the point being is that it comes from the Word of God. And talking about prayer, when we don't know what to pray for as we ought, the Spirit helps my infirmity. Going back to the word infirmity, it's not my sickness. Okay? Down the list of infirmities is sickness. But when we're talking here, the Spirit helps my infirmity. What's the answer to the infirmity? When I don't know how to pray as I ought. Would everybody accept? Am I blowing everybody? I mean, you guys are all looking at me. I'm not sure if anybody's getting it. Okay. She got it. Well, I know you got it. Thank you. Thanks. It's critical. It's critical. It's critical knowledge. Why? Because if I decide what I think is right, and it doesn't line up what God thinks is right, guess who's wrong? You are. And what do? When you're wrong, you humble yourself and you admit. If I admit even being wrong, it's not a sin. I mean, you know, I put it in that category. Being wrong is foolish. Okay, what is being wrong? I call it foolishness or, you know, whatever, but I need to get it out. I need to adjust. I need to yield. I need to surrender. I need to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. If I do, if I present myself as a surrendered, humble vessel, then he'll grant me understanding. And understanding may not be the exact prayer you wanted, but at least you'll know that I'm moving towards God, getting closer to him, because God has a system. The system is the Word of God. And if I don't want to surrender to the system, it means that I'm rebelling against the system. And Christians, this is probably the biggest blockage in the body of Christ, is that I see what God said in his word. If you ask anything according to my word, he hears you. He hears you, and you have the petition. If you ask anything according to my will is my word. God said, my will is my word. This is the will of God. If you ask anything, well, you don't have Joey Thompson's name in the book. God created Joey Thompson. And when you're praying and believing God for Joey Thompson, I don't know who Joey Thompson is. I just made up that name. The point being is whoever you're praying for, I do it willingly according to God's instruction of how to pray. So if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me, and I have the petition that I've desired of him. So God does grant those things. He grants things. Intercession is praying for others is easier to believe you receive sometimes than things for yourself, because you know yourself, you know your weaknesses. But when you go to bat for somebody in prayer and you say their name. When you know, if it's private, you know, keep it private. But in your own privacy, say their name. Because what you do is you are bringing them before the throne. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne to obtain mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. So I want mercy, to find grace, to help in time of need. So if I'm coming to the throne in behalf of Joey, to say it. Father, I come boldly to your throne in the name of Jesus, and I bring to you Joey. Joey may be your grandson, he may be your son, he may be your husband, he may be your uncle, he may be somebody you work with, but whatever you're doing, you bring your his name. You say his name to God. If it's Lisa, whoever's your wife, your daughter, your whatever, you bring their name to God. Say, Father, I come boldly to your throne, and I present Lisa or Joey to you in Jesus' name. Father, I don't know specifically what they need, but I'm going to say the things I think they need, that you'd open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and inheritance among us who are sanctified by faith. I know that scripture, so I could pray that. Boom. Pray the word if you know it. That's the best way to pray for Joey or Lisa, to bring their name before the throne. But say some scripture. The power's in the scripture. The power's in the word. God has deposited his power in the word. And when the power of the word is coupled with your prayer to God, there's power, wonder-working power. In the blood, we pray the blood. In the name, we speak the name. We pray in the name of Jesus. We cover people with the blood. What does that mean? That's kind of gross sounding. Cover them with the blood? No. What you're doing is you're bringing them under the blood. You think about it as walking under a bridge. And the blood is the bridge, and you're bringing a person, you're walking somebody you love in your prayer time. You don't say this to them. You don't tell them. This is called intercession. You bring them under the blood. They may think you're crazy. They may think that's weird, whatever. They don't need to know. Don't tell anybody. This is called the privacy of your own prayer time. This is called the secret petitions. This is what I want to happen. This is called intercession. Because if it's just me, I pray for me, God. I pray for me, God. I pray for me. God's going, I'm so bored with you praying for yourself. Would God say that? I'm so bored for you praying for yourself. God would be straightforward. Jesus would look at you and say, haven't you believed yet that I supply all your need according to his riches and glory? So why are you keep asking me for your supply of your needs when I said I will supply your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus? So now by faith, instead of always crying out to God for my needs to be met, I trust by faith that my needs will be supplied. And I say it. I got to say it. I got to confirm the word, declaring it out loud. You will confirm your word with signs following. I'm believing God, you supply my need, that my bills, I bring them before you, present them to you. I'm going to trust that you'll help me with them. I'm going to be wise with my money. I'm going to not live in sin. And, you know, I got books. This is about pornography. I'm not going to go to God and say, God, pay my bills, and then go back to your closet and look at pornography. No prayers work. The only prayer that works in that condition is help. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me get out of pornography. And I don't know what the statistics are? He's not talking about the world. The numbers aren't about the world. The world is the world. The numbers are about the church. It says warning to the church. How many people in the church are into pornography? Hardcore. Often. You know what that means? You got pigs in your parlor. You know how the Jews feel about pigs? They're filthy. They won't have anything to do with them. Pornography is a pig in your parlor. What do you do? Deal with it. The statistics. Where's the clock around here, Nance? Oh, right there. The statistics in this book, this man, years ago at Living Word, and since we've been teaching stuff, and it's like he copied our notes, my notes. Because he goes through it almost identically the way I did. And so is that blowing your own trumpet, or is it all from God? I believe that people are getting free from pornography. Anybody, whether single, married, or divorced, or whatever, can get free of pornography. It's the worst thing on earth right now, possibly, that affects. I mean, it's weird that, you know, you go into some of the third world countries and they don't even barely have food, but they got pornography. How is that possible? And when do we finally say, yeah, it's sin, it's always been sin, and I'm in sin? And why doesn't God answer my prayers? Because I'm continually in sin. What is righteousness? What is walking in righteousness? We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if I set the standard of being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I choose to live my life as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, pornography's got to go. You don't know. Too bad. There's suffering. There's suffering in the kingdom of God. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Does it mean that I'm going to have one hand? No, it means that something in my life hurts so bad that it's like cutting off my own hand. It's better to go in with only one arm than to go to hell as the consequences of unrepented of and living in sin. Now, that raises the question, Do Christians who live in unrepented sin, what's the consequences? I don't have the answer to that, except that you can't prosper. You know, one of the things I love to talk about is prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. I want you to prosper. That means I want you to be the best on your job. I want you to get pay raises. I want you to pay your bills. I want you to have extra left over so that you can enjoy yourself. I want you to live in prosperity. But you can't prosper while you're living in sin. You may have it. You may have already, because of your education or the hard work you put in, you may be prospering that way. But when you're living in sin, you've got a door wide open going out the back door, and your prosperity is just blown right past you. So, you know, I want to prosper and I want to be in health. Some people are sick. Some people are sick in their body. Oh, I got pains all the time. I do too, but I was playing football and all that stuff. But literally the pains of life, or mental illnesses, or fear. Pain in your body, mental illness, or fear. Fruit of sin. I don't want to live in fear. Fear has torment. I don't want to always be broke for the rest of my life. You know, I had these men's meetings. And this guy came and he was testifying. It was a sexual purity group. And this guy came and he was testifying of how much pornography he owned. And I said, dude, you're married. He goes, my wife knows. And I got a room all dedicated to myself. And I said, well, what we're doing in this class is asking you to get rid of your pornography. And he left. He said, I ain't doing it. Okay. It's your choice. You can live in porn, or you can live in the Word. You can live in the Spirit. You can live free. Getting free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. I want to be free. I love being free. I've been free for 30, 40, 50 years now. Actually, we've been married. How long have we been married, Pastor Nance? 35 years. Wow. We've been free that whole time and prior to that. See, let me just tell you a secret, I think. I think God was not going to introduce me to her until I got my life in order. That doesn't may not mean you might not mean you, but for me, I needed to get my ducks in a row in the sense of making sure that I'm putting God first place, because He's going to bring me an honorable wife. And if my ducks aren't in a row, it's not honorable. And I wanted to be married to an honorable person. I was praying for an honorable person to be married to, and she's very honorable. And so I'm challenging somebody with these ideas right here. And I can back them all up with the Bible. If I've been too hard on you, if I stepped on your toes, the point is that so many places in the Bible we could tell you sin won't prosper. You will not prosper if you're living in sin. And that's why the statistics are frightening. And a lot of these books, both of these books, Pings of the Pup, many of them, they say the statistics of Christians are frightening. And pastors, there are pastors that are sick with darkness. And so I testify today before God that we have zero pornography in my life. Zero. I couldn't tell you how many years it's been since I've seen pornography. I bumped into it a couple times. I go into somebody's office, you know, and they got pornography on their screen, and you know, you just turn your back on it, and you go, all right, what do I got to get done with this person? But otherwise, no pornography, zero. Zero. So anybody that says, I got to have, no, zero. When I was single, zero. That's why God blessed me with some really cool jobs, which He got for me that I didn't, because I had zero. I was living for Him. I was serving God with my whole heart. And I wanted to forsake the world. I wanted to forsake sin. I wanted to forsake my past. I wanted to forsake darkness. I wanted to to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. I wanted to put on the whole armor of God that I could stand against the wiles of the devil. Having done all to stand, I could stand. I put his word first, and God blessed me with jobs. There's no way I could get myself. It had to have been God. And so I'm telling somebody right now, you're going, how do I pay my bills? How do I increase? The Bible says he must increase and you must decrease. Yourself must decrease while Jesus is increasing in your life. And as you do that, you don't have to wait till you're perfect before God will bless you. God will bless you the day you make that commitment. If you make it today that God, you must increase and I must decrease. If you make that commitment, something good will happen to you today, next week, this week. I believe that with all my heart, but you're going to have to use faith. You have to use faith that, Father, I'm making that choice. I'm going to do this, and I'm believing you'll help me. I believe you'll bless me. I believe you'll open doors for me. I believe that things are going to change. Nothing changes overnight that you can tangibly taste, see, feel, hear. But things change. And pretty soon you're going, I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I'm a doer of the word. I seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are added to my life because I put God first place in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Can somebody say amen? Amen. All right, let's say the salvation prayer. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for me and was raised again from the dead, so that I could have eternal life. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. And be my Lord. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I receive forgiveness now. I receive eternal life. I believe I can change. I believe there's power, wonder-working power, to change me. I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and all these things are added to me. I say this in Jesus' name. Amen. I do not like these microphones.
I know you want your mic back. We'll work on that this week. Melissa already texted Brian, the sound guy. So we'll work on it.
Thank you.
All right. Am I done or can I stand here? Well, you can do whatever you want. You're the pastor.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to take your space here.
No, you're fine. Take a stand.
Take a stand.
Take a stand in your own life. Draw a line in the sand. Take a stand. And then put action to your faith. Faith without corresponding action, the Bible says, is dead. It's inoperative. So if we don't put any action to our faith, then it's not going to come together. When Pastor Steve said, my God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's in Philippians. But you have to look at that in context, because you have to do something for that to be possible. What is it? Hello? Give. Give and believe that it's true. It is true. God has a way of making things happen in our lives. He opens doors for us that no man can shut. But you have to position yourself. And really, that's what Pastor's message was about. Position yourself to walk in the things that God has for you. It's a good life. It's a blessed life. And there isn't one person in here or one person watching that doesn't have to give something up to go higher in Christ. Maybe it's not pornography. There are people in here, maybe people watching, that have never been into pornography 1 ounce in their entire life. But you could have other things going on. Have no other gods before me, says the Lord. So what is something that you think you can't live without? That's a god to you. And we don't want to have any gods before him. We want to put him first place. We want to trust him with our whole heart and watch God do miracles in your life. We are testimonies, and a lot of you in here have testimonies of how God has grabbed you out of darkness and put you into the light. He's not going to stop. He's not going to quit. He just wants to take you higher. One of the things that I prayed as I was coming in today was that every single one of us would run our race well and finish our course strong. That we would get to the end of whatever God has for each one of us individually and as a church, that he'd complete it, and that we would finish strong. I don't want to fall off at the very end and miss the prize, and I don't want any of us to fall off, any of you to fall off. So as we give this morning, let's do it with a willing heart. God, I trust you. I put you first in the most basic thing that we can put God first in, and that's our money. Jesus said it. So don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Why? Because you have to give something of yourself. We exist in this world. We make money. We're given money. And we have to use that money to receive basic necessities. But let's be real. At least, we're buying our coffee. We're doing our thing. We're doing whatever we want. Surely we can put God first. So, Father, as we give this morning, we do it with a willing, cheerful heart. You love, prompt to do it, cheerful givers. Father, thank you for providing bread for food, providing enough seed left over to sow. Thank you for increasing the fruits of our righteousness as we step out in faith. We put action to our faith this morning. And Father, as a church, we purpose to use every penny that comes in to further your work, further the gospel, be a place where people can come in and hear the truth and receive love and forgiveness and salvation, healing, deliverance, all the things that you have for us. We thank you now for meeting the needs of this church and meeting the needs of the people of this church in abundance, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, ladies, we'll go ahead and receive the offering. Ushers, go ahead and do that, and I'll just do the announcements. Ladies, Christmas party is coming up this Saturday at 11:30 here at the church. So all you ladies are more than welcome to come. Oh, Trace. Yep, Tracy's got something. Come on up here.
Pastor Steve, could you come up here with her, please?
Prophecy, yeah, baby. Not you.
So I want you both to know we didn't forget about you for Pastor Appreciation. We know that was back in October, and we were so busy. Well, see, that's what we thought. So that's why today we are here to honor both of you, because we worked so hard to get this beautiful building, and you both worked so hard to help each one of us get there. So we are here to, it does it backwards all the time. I'm so sorry. But so we are here to honor and thank you both for your work, your hard work. But I do have a scripture here. It's in the Amplified, 1 Peter 5:2-4. Shepherd and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not motivated for your shameful gain, but for the wholehearted enthusiasm, not lording it over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living. To the flock, set of a pattern of integrity for your congregation. And when the chief shepherd, Christ, appears, you will receive the conqueror's unfading crown of glory. Amen. So with that, I just have to say, because I've known them for 35 years, and to watch, you actually have grown, because because, you know, how everybody, I watched you from the New Union when I first started working under you as volunteers. So when you mentioned about soldiers last week, how you wish you were a soldier, you both are. God started you back at the New Union, has put you in boot camp and training. He wanted to see how you worked with the volunteers. He entrusted you with each of us as you be our leaders, and then for the coming day for where you are today. And I watched you, Pastor Steve, in the beginning when you would preach or to practice your preaching. You could not look at anybody. We were there to watch you practice, and you just could not lift your eyes up. Now look at you. God is totally using you beyond measure. And I thank we thank you for your humbleness, your integrity, you're willing to protect us, your teaching gifts, and just following the call of God on your life. We thank you, and we honor you, and we got this for you.
I'm going to explain this a little bit. This is a gavel that's used in the courtroom. And there was, well, and it comes from, like, it's inspiration from Jeremiah 23:29, which says, is not my word like a fire that breaks, it's like, that shatters, right? It's like, and also a hammer that shatters the rock of the most stubborn resistance, right? And it's not a joke that he preached what you did today. I think it's really appropriate. And so there's a lady that I knew who ran an underground church in Israel. And she left. She escaped the mafia with her son. And she became a pastor. She leads a church, and she's led so many Arabs to the Lord. She will say, she'll say the word, and she'll be like, whoosh, with a gavel. And I just thought, so you get a golden gavel.
Thank you. Yes, and one more thing. We know Philippians 12:13 was the first scripture that I was taught to. Fourth? Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was embedded in my heart for years, and that was the first scripture that I was taught. And then later on, I was like, oh my gosh. Now I know what it means. It's when you're suffering and going through a hard time, as you both have seen where I've been, but you never gave up on me. And I thank you for that. And with the volunteers, now you have us children of God to take over and those who come through the doors. And we thank and bless you.
Tracy, I've seen you. You were timid back in those days. And just as I preached like this, you were very timid. But now, the words you just spoke and the courage that you've shown around here as a leader in Christianity and a prayer leader, being the prayer leader made you strong in the world, in the life, and you're so different. You are so strong, and you're a leader, and thank you so much. And Gowan, thank you so much for you guys' leadership in music, and guys, thank you so much. We love you so much, and we're growing together, and we're going to fill this bad boy up, right? Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You guys are awesome, and we say it all the time. We have the best church ever. And when you look around and you see all the different backgrounds that are represented and all the faith victories that have been won in each person's life that's in here, it's heaven. It's what God, I just know that God looks down on this church and smiles, and he probably giggles a little bit too. Because we are kind of an unusual bunch. I'm just so thankful that we're not on the fourth floor anymore. Because that was weird. You know, we tried to make the best of it. And we always said, whatever, we're unusual. But we can be unusual in a more like church-like place now. And where people can find us. And I'm glad. There was a gentleman that wandered in here today. He wandered out, but that's okay. He wandered in. And you know, for some people, they can only take little doses because they walk right into the presence of God and they sometimes don't know what hit them. And so we just love people when they come in, and it's okay if they kind of get a little distracted or wander back out. They got a taste, and I believe he's going to want to come back and have some more. Amen? And so we just need to love people when they come in.
I just got to say one more quick thing is that is not my word a fire? Is it not a hammer that shatters the rock of most stubborn resistance? One of my favorite Bible verses of all time, but the point is that not my objective to swing the hammer, but God's word is a fire. If it won't burn it, then the hammer of God's word will break the rock into pieces of our lives. And sometimes it hurts very painfully to hear truth. But if we speak the truth in love, God will honor it. And so my objective is never to beat anybody, but to let everybody know that we're all in this fight together and we win. We are winners in Christ Jesus. And thank you guys so much for blessing us. Amen.
Amen. Lastly, if there's something that needs to go in your life, let us know, because we've got all those books and different things back there. We can help you. And if you don't like to read, I can get you some messages to listen to that will address the topics or the things that you need to deal with so you can listen to the word and get extra. Sometimes, you know, when you're in a fight, you got to fight every day. So anyway, love you. Have a wonderful afternoon. And we'll, let me just get back to my announcements really quick. Ladies Christmas party, Saturday coming up 11:30 here, Revelation class next Saturday. And then just real quick, if you do not have anywhere to go on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, so if you have family or friends that you celebrate with, that's great. But for those that do not, we'll do a little lunch on Christmas Eve day at 2 o'clock, and we'll just hang out a little bit, and we will not have church that Wednesday night. Okay, so this is for people that will kind of provide like a little family Christmas, Christmas Eve day, 2 o'clock, and everyone's invited. All right, be blessed. Have a great day, and thank you very much.